Turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. This morning we'll be looking at John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Lord God, as we look at your word today, we pray that you would use it to stir our hearts with love for you and with love for one another. Remind us of what you have done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore minister through us by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would love one another. We ask that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last week, we looked at Jesus' admonition to abide in him and bear fruit, and to do so by keeping his commandments. And as we continue to work through John 15, Jesus zeroes in on one commandment in particular, and that is the command to love one another. And even though that is just one command, we recognize that that one command is a summary of all of our duty to one another. The whole second table of the law, the second half of the Ten Commandments, is in this one command to love one another. Now, Paul puts it this way in Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so when we're called to abide in Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments, we can look at the whole law, yes, but it can be boiled down to the two greatest commands, to love God and to love one another. And in particular, Jesus focuses on the second one here with his disciples. And just like Jesus told his disciples to abide in him by keeping his commandments, we see here that Jesus tells us how we are to love one another. But what's more, Jesus gives us the motivation to love in this passage. Because let's face it, loving one another is not always the easiest thing to do, is it? Love is not something that comes naturally to us now because of the fall. Love is not always easy. In fact, to love someone is sometimes difficult. People hurt us. People disappoint us. People are different than we are. People make foolish decisions sometimes. In our own pride, we may think that they are not worthy of our love. And yet, despite how we may think or how we may feel about someone else, the command still remains: love one another. And so to help us with our motivation, Jesus draws our attention to the various ways in which we have been loved by him. And we can reflect upon these as motivation and encouragement to us to love one another, because truly, we love because he first loved us. And so in this passage, we see the command to love, and Jesus gives us the how and the why. And the main point is to love one another as Christ loved you, because Christ loved you. Love one another as Christ loved you, because Christ loved you. And the first thing we see here is that Jesus commands you to love one another as he has loved you, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, this is a subject that Jesus has spent a lot of time on already. He's spoken about this before. We saw how Jesus selflessly loved the disciples in chapter 13 when he humbled himself and he washed their feet. And he desired them to do likewise, to humble themselves before one another and serve one another. And we were instructed to put one another's interests above our own, to consider one another more highly than ourselves. And here Jesus commands the highest expression of that love. The laying down of one's life for someone else. And this, of course, is something that Jesus is going to do in just a short while. And it's this kind of love that he desires and requires for his disciples and for you and for me. Although the willingness here to physically sacrifice our lives for someone is certainly intended in this, I think what's in the foreground is the mindset of self-sacrificing actions and attitudes toward other people, which of course would result in physically giving up our lives if that was our mentality, but it can mean so much more than that. It could be as small and as simple as the sacrifice of some personal comfort for the sake of someone else. So maybe you remember several weeks ago, I gave that illustration about the kids and the cake, right? And the willingness to give up the bigger piece of cake for the sake of the brother or the sister. Something that simple can demonstrate a heart of selflessness, a self-sacrificing attitude toward someone else. Or it could be a sacrifice of your time and energy to aid or assist someone else who needs help. And maybe it's making a meal for someone who needs assistance, helping someone move or giving someone a ride somewhere. It could be something that physically takes up your time or your energy. Or it could also be an emotional sacrifice that you make on behalf of someone else, for someone who is really struggling in their life. And how hard it is sometimes and how emotionally costly it is to enter into someone else's heart and to hear them out, to help carry their burdens and the brokenness of their own hearts. How hard it is to minister to someone in their brokenness. It costs a lot from you. It's a lot to bear. And yet if we are thinking selflessly, we will not hesitate to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of someone else. Having a mindset of self-sacrificing love is to have the intentionality and the willingness to suffer for the good and benefit of another. And it could be small, it could be great. And friends, this could even mean the death of your own sinful attitudes. And putting to death your own selfish ambition and pride whenever you're interacting with other people. It could be killing that grudge that you're holding on to in your heart against someone. Or maybe it's putting to death your anger for the sake of peace with other people. The kind of love which Jesus calls us to is a love that continually denies itself in every circumstance out of concern for the other. It's loving as Jesus loved. And as I said already, this is not something that comes easily or naturally. Oftentimes, people make it very difficult to love them by their actions and by their attitudes. And on top of that, we are not completely sanctified yet, are we? We have a hard time responding well, especially to people who don't respond well to us. We are still selfish in so many ways and often don't want to love like Jesus loves. But even so, we are still commanded to do just that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And one of the ways that we can promote this kind of love in our own hearts, one of the ways we can combat our own selfishness, our own pride, our own self-centeredness, And to find the motivation to love, even when it's hard, is to consider how wonderfully we have been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And John records here four ways in which we have been loved by Jesus. That if we would meditate on these things, we would find grace to love one another. And the first one is this, that you ought to love because Jesus has loved you by his sacrifice for you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And this is exactly what Jesus is going to do for them. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you. This holy, harmless, undefiled Jesus suffered the brutality of Roman crucifixion in your stead. This Jesus, as a substitute, took your place and was condemned by man and by God so that you would not suffer the terrible and terrifying wrath of God forever. This Jesus, your Savior, the one who was perfected humanity, the one who never knew a time of a fractured relationship with his Father or separation in that relationship with his Heavenly Father, was forsaken utterly by his God and Father so that you would never be forsaken. What wonderful love he has shown you. What great love he has poured out for you in his sacrifice to you. Allow that to melt your heart, to soften that hard heart you may have towards someone else, filling it with the love of God. Meditate on what Jesus Christ has done for you when you find it hard to love someone else. And by God's grace, you'll say with the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, he says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation for our sins. And then he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So love because Jesus has loved you by his sacrifice for you. Secondly, love because Jesus has loved you by making you his friends. Verse 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. And so when you think about God, we think about how transcendent he is, how holy and majestic and how awesome and powerful he is. It really is an incredible thing to hear him call any human being his friend. And that's what Jesus says. He has made you his friends. To be someone's friend implies a closeness and a care and a concern for that person. It comes with a certain level of intimacy that is not shared with others. It's not shared with those who are not your friends. And this is what Jesus highlights here for his disciples. Jesus had come into the world to preach the truth of the kingdom of God. And in doing so, he spoke about all of the will of God for salvation. He spoke of the work he must accomplish for his Father. And yet, to his disciples, he expressed these truths. He made these truths known in a full and in an effectual way. And even though they didn't come to a full awareness of everything that he taught them until the Holy Spirit came into their lives and opened their minds to understand, to give them illumination, he still allowed them to know what the Father was doing in their midst. He still allowed them to know who he was, so much so that they could confess, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you're here this morning and you are a believer, you who abide in Christ through faith-filled obedience, you are friends of Jesus Christ. He has established a closeness with you that this world does not know. He is your friend, and he helps you by his Spirit in you. He comforts you. He protects you. He rebukes you even. He reveals you the truth about himself. Jesus is not some mysterious deity off in the clouds somewhere far off, but he has come to you by his Holy Spirit. And he enlightens your minds to his will so that you can understand what his word teaches you. So that this word truly does become a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It truly is the word of God. And you know it. You understand it. You know your God and Savior because he is your friend. What a marvelous thing it is to be friends with and to have a relationship with the King of the universe. You know that one who made everything? Who sustains the world every moment by his power? Who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord of glory? You know that one? He's your friend. Isn't that amazing? He always has an open and ready ear to hear you when you cry out to him. Whenever you're in fear, whenever you're in terror, whenever your heart is broken, guess who is listening to you and who is watching you? It's your friend, Jesus Christ. What love is this? Ought this not to motivate us to love him and love one another more? Our beautiful Savior, love because Jesus has loved you by making you his friends. Thirdly, love because Jesus has loved you by choosing you for himself. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that you should bear, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, or in my name, he will give to you. A profound truth that Jesus wants his disciples to understand, and he wants you and me to understand, is that in their relationship with God, God through Jesus is the one who initiated it all. The disciples didn't kick things off. Jesus did. God does the work first. God through Jesus is the one who turned them to himself. They did not have the wisdom to follow him or the wisdom to pursue him. They did not have the spiritual ability to turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus brought them to himself. And we have to remember that the same thing is true for us. The Lord God Almighty brought you to himself. Despite the fact that we, as Paul says in Romans, were under sin, unrighteous, ignorant in our understanding, not seeking after God, living in our own way, worthless, and not doing any good whatsoever, God, knowing all of that, still chose you in Christ to be his children. He still purposed to save you. He still determined to turn you from darkness to light. And we now love because he first loved us. It's important to see here, and what magnifies his love all the more, is that there was nothing good or worthy in us that caused him to choose us. There was nothing righteous about the disciples. There was nothing particularly outstanding about the nation of Israel, but his love was set upon us anyway. God says of Israel, and ultimately of you and me in Deuteronomy 7, he says this, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. But the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But he chose you because the Lord loves you." So despite being wholly unworthy of that love, you were chosen to be brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ, your Savior, that you may be delivered from sin in your life, the power, the presence, and the penalty of sin in your life. As Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So not only were you chosen apart from anything good in you, but you were chosen so that you would become holy and righteous and perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ to the praise of his glory. This is the work Jesus is doing in you, taking you and making you like Jesus. Again, what wonderful love you have been shown by the power and grace of God. What a motivation to love. What a motivation to love those especially who are unlovable to you for one reason or another. God's love for you was not based on anything in you. And so therefore, it shouldn't be a condition in our hearts for us to love someone else. Love because Jesus has loved you by electing you, by choosing you for himself. Fourthly and finally, love because Jesus has loved you by giving you access to the Father in prayer. Second half of verse 16. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And Jesus reiterates this incredible privilege that we have as his people to that Jesus has given. It's open and ready access to God the Father and the confidence that we will be heard by him. What religion in the world promises such a close relationship with its God as this? What other God listens to the prayers of men and actually answers? In what other heavenly or earthly throne room can a man or woman enter with confidence at any moment and expect a hearing from the one who is seated on the throne? There is no other. But we have it in Jesus Christ. At any moment, at any point of the day, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in the world, because of Jesus Christ and the love he has shown you, you may speak to the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Because of the love of Jesus, praying in his name, that is praying in a way that is consistent with his character, it results in the reception of your requests. Particularly in this context, the request for spiritual fruit in your life. When you come in the name of Jesus and ask the Father to change you, to make you more like Jesus, to sanctify you, to produce that spiritual fruit in your life, the Lord God hears it and he answers it and he transforms you and makes you more like Jesus. How we've taken this so much for granted and counted it a small thing in our Christian lives. But if we think deeply about it and see the true privilege and power of our prayer to God, we shall be convinced that this is a precious gift from our Savior. That we can turn to the Father in prayer and that he hears and that he answers. A gift of love that can and should motivate us to love him and love one another all the more. Love because Jesus has loved you by giving you access to the Father in prayer. You know, despite the difficulty you may or may not find in loving other people, the command still remains here for us. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. And it's a kind of love in which you are to love one another. It's a self-sacrificing love, modeled after the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for you. And however difficult it may be, I hope that by the grace of God, the things that we looked at briefly this morning will enliven your heart, will inflame your heart, will motivate you to love him and love one another more. And so when you're faced with a person to love, difficult or not, stop and reflect upon these truths. That Jesus has loved you by sacrificing himself for you. That Jesus has loved you by making you his friend. That Jesus has loved you by choosing you for himself. And that Jesus has loved you by granting you access to the Father in heaven in prayer. And in response, love one another as Christ has loved you, because Christ has loved you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this gift. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. Thank you for the gift of your son and his life and death and resurrection for us. We pray, O God, that everything that you have done for us would motivate us to live lives of love for you and for one another. Lord, we need you to produce this in our hearts. We can't do it on our own. But show love in us and through us that you would be glorified and good would be shown to your church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.